Let's return to Milo's Internet Marketing on TalkZone.com.
Thank you, and welcome back to Milo's Internet Marketing radio program. This is our Ask Andy segment. He's got a couple questions he's going to cover this week about wireless print servers, and another question came out on virtual memory, and we'll let Andy. He's got a lot to cover, so we'll go right to Andy.
Okay, thank you, Milo. I want to get into, I've got a list of nine things today, like you mentioned at the beginning of the program, that will mess up your computer. But first, I wanted to address a couple emails I got this week. And like you said, number one is I got a question that, what is a wireless print server? We all know what Wi-Fi is and wireless networks, but what's a wireless print server? Well, a wireless print server is effectively, it's a converting system that will convert standard USB-only printers to wireless printers. Some printers have wireless capability built right in, so they can connect directly to a wireless router. And that allows you to put the printer anywhere in your house and print to it from any computer without running miles of USB or networking cables all over the place. But if your printer has just a wired USB connect option and you want to connect the printer wirelessly to one, two, or more computers, then you have these options. Option number one is to connect the printer to one of the computers directly with the USB cable. Now, this computer obviously has to be on the network. You can then share the printer from that computer, making it accessible to other computers on your network, such as a wireless laptop. In this case, when you print from the wireless laptop, your data stream goes from the laptop to the network router to the other computer and then to the wired printer. It works fine in most cases, but it does require that the computer with the printer always be powered on. That's very important. With this setup, you can't have that computer not on and expect to print to it because you won't be able to find it. Option number two is to use a wireless print server. And in a nutshell, you can connect the wireless print server to your printer's USB port and then connect the print server to your network either by Ethernet cable or wirelessly. So the wireless option lets you put your printer wherever you want to without having to run cables and without the need to keep a second computer on all the time. So a wireless print server, in conclusion, just takes a wired USB-only printer and allows it to connect to your network wirelessly, just like a wireless laptop or any other type of thing.
I understand about half of all printers made now do have the wireless capabilities, but more and more computers also have this wireless system in them. As opposed to wireless for Internet, they also have the wireless built in there, so I think we're going to overcome this problem pretty soon with newer laptops, especially.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it's more in laptops. Well, no, they both do. I'm sorry. They both. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you want to make sure, though, when you're purchasing a printer, that if you want that wireless capability, look for it in the specifications. Usually it costs a few dollars more to have the wireless capability, and sometimes you can get the same printer with the wireless capability installed and without it installed. So make sure, if you're looking for it, make sure you find it. Another question I got, Milo, is a question about virtual memory. And virtual memory is something that Windows has been using for years. It's a very, very easy concept. Memory can be virtualized, just like virtual servers, virtual storage. So the question, what is virtual memory, is that when all the programs running on your computer consume the real physical memory, which we call RAM, on your motherboard, your operating system, Windows in this case, will grab a chunk of unused hard drive space and create virtual memory out of that. Your software can't tell the difference between real memory and virtual memory. And the only real difference to the person using the computer is that the real memory, the RAM, has a much faster access time than the hard drive or the virtual memory. So all virtual memory is a way for your operating system to expand your computer's capabilities without having to actually upgrade the hardware in your computer. Again, it's not as fast when you use the virtual memory, but it allows the computer to run more applications and that type of thing.
But I think if you are having problems at this time with memory and virtual memory is constantly being used, then you might look at upgrading a little bit to 3 or 4 RAM because it's so inexpensive relatively to what it was.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. And increasing your real memory, the RAM, like you said, will definitely increase the processing capabilities of your computer.
Right. Everything will run faster. You'll think, ooh, cool, I got a better direct line or something.
Yep. So I hope that answers those questions. Send any other questions that you have to me at Ask Andy. You can click on the Ask Andy button from the website, milosinternetmarketing.com, or email me at askandyaquestion@aol.com. And I would, if you send me the question and and I can find the answer for you, you might have your question talked about on air. So, Milo, I want to get into these nine things that I came up with that will mess up your computer. You want to avoid these nine things. And first thing we're going to talk about is simple, is applying security patches. A lot of people fail to apply these security patches. This is such an easy thing to do. New computer security threats crop up almost every day as hackers and other cybervillains attempt to find and exploit holes in the operating system and in application software. Take advantage of the tools that are built into your operating system, Windows Update, Mac OS 10 software update, and make sure that they are set to run on autopilot every day. Other software that you've installed may offer the same type of automatic updating capability. Don't ignore the warning messages from the updaters and apply the fixes as soon as they're available. Very easy to do. Always have your updates. Number two would be not using an antivirus or anti-spyware protection. I almost giggle at this one because it's so obvious to me that it's the most common way to make a system inoperable is to not use one of these programs. And it's the easiest problem to avoid. Not using anti-malware program is kind of like leaving the front door of your house wide open with all of your valuables on prominent display. Virus and software and spyware creators, rather, do this in hope of gaining control of computers for malicious purposes or getting access to sensitive information that may be stored on a hard drive. Of course, viruses and spyware can significantly slow down a machine as well. So be safe, use a good antivirus program, make sure all your updates are up to date. Number three is not using a firewall. Yes, your computer needs a firewall, but probably not the kind everyone is telling you to install. Chances are you already have an excellent firewall built into your high-speed modem or router. But make sure, if you don't have a firewall there, they have software firewall programs that are very easy to install, very easy to configure. Number four, and this is a real important one as far as I'm concerned, is clicking on bogus pop-ups. Pop-up ads are intrusive, annoying, and seemingly everywhere on the web. Yet, it is amazing how often some computers' users mindlessly click on them. Pop-ups will promise you anything from a free dinner for two to ridding your machine of viruses with one click. These ads can mask spyware and malware that gets loaded into your machine behind the scenes. If you see a pop-up ad in a browser window, close the window by clicking the red X at the top, the red X button at the top corner of the window. Don't click inside the pop-up window at all. You could unwittingly download harmful software. Even if you know, it gives you buttons in the pop-up window that one says click here to solve your problems, the other one says no thanks or cancel or close the window. Don't click on that button either, because just because it says close or cancel doesn't mean that that's actually what it does. It can do, as long as you click anywhere inside that window, that program can do anything it wants. So just close the window with the red X at the top of the Windows button. It's very important to do it that way. Number five is unsafe downloading. It can be tempting to download pirated versions of games, movies, or popular software packages, music too. But beware that some downloads have been modified to contain embedded viruses or Trojan horses that can compromise your system. And anyways, people, pirated programs are illegal, so just don't do it. Number six, falling for phishing scams. Phishing is the new internet way of catching people off guard, I suppose. There's a Nigerian email scam that's become as well known as the bogus game, you know, the old shell game that people do out on the streets. But it's still astonishing to me of how many people will fall for it. Also, an email may come to your inbox that looks like it's from your bank or from eBay or from PayPal, like Mala was talking about earlier, and you open it up and it's asking you to verify your information by entering your password, social security number, account number, whatever. If you have any questions about a suspicious email like that, it looks like it came from a place that you do business, just call that company to verify before giving any information away. Number seven is not securing your Wi-Fi. If you've ever noticed your internet connection slowing down for no good reason, this could be the result of strangers mooching off your Wi-Fi bandwidth. If you leave your wireless router wide open and unsecured, it's an open invitation for neighbors, passerbys, to connect right into it. But in addition to sharing your internet connection, you're also exposing yourself to hackers and possibly even legal liability. So make sure that you have a password on your Wi-Fi connection. Number eight is haphazardly deleting files from your computer. It's not so hard to fill up a hard drive these days, even with the large storage capacity that comes with machines. But when you feel like doing some housekeeping on your system, make sure you know what you're deleting. The deletion of DLL files, for instance, and other files residing in system folders or program folders, if you delete some of these, you can really cause your operating system or applications to crash. Usually Windows won't let you delete critical system files, but play it safe. If you're not sure what you're deleting, leave it alone. Do some research on it. If you know that it's okay to delete, go ahead and delete it. Number nine, and one of the easiest, simplest things to do, is to back up your computer. Forgetting to back up your computer is my ninth thing that will mess up your computer. This is a heartbreaker, too, because it's so easy to avoid. That sooner or later, we all know that you will accidentally delete an important file or experience a hard drive failure. Always make sure you back up any critical files and on a regular basis. Backing up is so easy now with external drives and online backup services. In fact, there's an online backup service that we offer on milosinternetmarketing.com. If you click on the specials link at the top of the page and go to Milo's Online Backup, there's a link there for $12 a month, which is, if you think about it, it's so much better to spend $12 a month and not have to worry about losing your data, your pictures, your documents, all that stuff. For $12 a month, you could back up to 3 computers with this system. So check it out at milosinternetmarketing.com. Click on the specials link at the top of the page and go to Milo's Online Backup. It's a real nice service that I recommend quite a bit. It works with PC, with Mac. Milo, can you tell us any more about that?
Well, the nice fact is that it allows 3 computers. Most people have 2 computers, sometimes 3, but most of the other places have just, it's limited to 1 computer. You might pay a 1 month fee, a 1 year free, it depends, but this allows you not only 3, but access from anywhere in the world to get your stuff back. And as you said, you know, it seems like an expense, but if you lose everything, you have to buy a new computer. You may have to get a new hard drive, but the most important thing is you lost all your valuable information. Yeah. Everything's gone. So, and you can certainly click and, you know, save on a separate hard drive, but that's not always guaranteed either. Really backing up is important. You know, use Milo's Online Backup. That's great. But if you don't use that, use any backup, but please use the backup. It's so important.
You'll regret it if you don't. That's for sure.
But the reason I like the one we have on our website is because I have Windows machine and Macintosh, so it'll back up both. Majority will just back up Windows. There's not a lot out there for backing up Macintoshes. But
and there's an 8-week money-back guarantee.
That's the biggest thing.
If you're not happy with it.
Right, right. So it's a great advantage there. If you're not happy, fine. But back up your material. Please do. We all get lazy. We don't. And then when the crash comes, we panic. We go crazy. And what do? So that's just a shame. So back up. Backup. Those are very beneficial. I know you put those together after sorting through a lot of the questions we had, because they all kind of fit into a lot of different questions. We get the same thing every week about, oh, my computer crashed, what did I do? And usually it fits into one of those categories that you listed. So,
yeah, hopefully I was able to answer a lot of your questions this week, and we'll get some more questions for next week.
Maybe we can look at putting that and allowing people to download that from our website, and so they have that information in front of them so that...
I'll put a link to it on the website.
Great. Sounds good. Well, we're going to put a link to our ending today. That's about it. We want to thank our engineer, Randy Meyer, TalkZone.com, and especially you, our listeners. We appreciate you. Until next time, this is Milo saying so long, everybody.